Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this April the 1st on the West Coast, now April the 2nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'd like to welcome anyone listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and hope you enjoy tonight's show. Well, I have to be very honest with you and just say that despite what we hear from mainstream media, the fear mongers are out there to have everyone concerned. And I'm not saying that we should not be vigilant in determining if we are being exposed to a radiation, nuclear fallout from events occurring in Japan. We did talk about this topic on last night's show with Ken Adachi and Zuranova star Livingstone, and we were in mutual agreement that Japan was another orchestrated false flag event. But what is not adding up is that if it was a real event, we would hear the truth about what's going on. And we never hear explanations for why earthquakes occur or why tsunamis occur, tidal waves, for those of you who don't know the word tsunami. And we're just not being told what's really happening. We've been shown pictures. We've seen pictures of presidential assassinations. And of course, there have never been any murder investigations, never been any charges brought about against the real perpetrators of the crimes. And an attack on a nation or an attack on a planet is a pretty serious issue. And the avoidance of the topic by certain in-the-know people indicates to me, it demonstrates that we're probably right. What we're going to talk about tonight with our guest is the anomalies that we know have occurred or are occurring in relationship to the earthquake, tsunami, the nuclear meltdown, and even some geopolitical issues and events that have occurred since March 11th, 2011. It's a very interesting date. The Earth wouldn't pick an Illuminati sacrificial or an Illuminati ritualistic date. Just wouldn't do it. These events happen too coincidentally to be a matter of coincidence. And a much larger picture or a much larger puzzle suddenly is beginning to emerge as an image. And we're going to talk about that. But first, I think it would behoove us to go outside the box a little bit with some music. The music of Eomir Deodato from 1972. And very famous track that he recorded on his album Prelude Deodato, which was on CTI Records, features many, many famous musicians. Also, Sprach Zarathustra.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, some of you may recognize that song as the theme from 2001, A Space Odyssey. I felt that song was actually, this version, this rendition by Amir Deodato, is appropriate for tonight's show because it gives us another perspective of listening to the same story just through the eyes and ears of another individual. Deodato has recorded and arranged and orchestrated and produced some 500 plus albums throughout his career. Many, many famous groups that you would recognize, pop groups, pop singers, other musicians. Obviously he's better known for his jazz works, and there was quite a roster of musicians on that recording as well. Those of you who have been listening to the show have heard the music of drummer Billy Cobham playing with George Duke, Miles Davis, and others, and Ron Carter, famous Miles Davis bass player from his quintet days with Herbie Hancock, Tony Williams, Wayne Shorter, and others, because he's even experimented, Miles, using three keyboardists. On this song, we had two bass players. The second bass player was the infamous Stanley Clark, known for his work with his own group, Chick Corea, the Return to Forever group, and George Duke as well. So the roster of musicians is fantastic on the whole album, and it's been a long time since I heard that, and I thought, wow, what a way to talk about what's going on in Japan. Without boring you any further, I would like to welcome back to Evident Footprints our resident science advisor, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and my co-host on Friday nights, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show. Hello, Jim, are you there? This happened last week. He may be talking, and he's not hearing me for some reason. So, Seth, if you can look into that, maybe try to reestablish contact with him. And Seth says that Jim's unmuted, which is a half-truth because something's muting him somewhere. But what Seth is saying is it's not his fault. So we'll get Jim back on. And isn't it amazing, folks? We haven't even begun to to talk, and already we're having communication problems. Hopefully, now he may be sitting back in the wings talking his head off, and I'm not hearing a word of it. But I would suppose that if I'm not hearing it, you're not hearing it. So we'll get him back on. Anyway,
I'm back on, Don.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you got to hear the whole song, if you got to hear my introduction, but like the past few weeks after I introduced you, you were not there. You disappeared. And well, I remarked that we haven't even begun to share the truth yet.
Well, it's a potential for telling the truth that they want to avoid, as well as the actual act of releasing the information. So I guess I just disappear.
Okay. Well, welcome back anyway. You know, I started the show outside the box tonight for a good reason, because we've got to look at what's happening around the world and understand that they don't tell us, we got to remind ourselves, they never tell us the truth about what's going on, do they?
Well, no, is the only answer I can give you.
So why should we expect them to be telling the truth? Now, I got to listen to another show, and there's a gentleman who's a journalist, allegedly a former Forbes magazine journalist. He's Canadian, Benjamin Fulford. And he was talking about the intentions of these secret societies in Japan to counter what has happened. And he's interestingly putting the blame on General Electric, who I understand built the plant in Fukushima, and some of the other plants. I think they own three or four of those plants in Japan.
Well, are you insinuating, or is he insinuating, that they had a part in this from the standpoint of collusion, so to speak, or is he just saying that they are remotely at fault because of inferior construction of some sort?
Well, he didn't apply or present enough information for me to be convinced that there is overwhelming evidence that what he said was the case, but it's very plausible that the Rockefellers would have something to do with it, as would the Rothschilds and many of the other Illuminati families around the planet.
But you know, it's interesting that you brought that subject up about these secret groups possibly planning a retaliation. I mean, it only stands to reason that if there's any evidence whatsoever to support the fact that this is a planned event, I would actually expect there to be retaliation. You know, like I said on one of our shows, sooner or later, they're going to step on the wrong feet. And I have news for you. I don't care who you are. You are accessible. There is always a way. No matter how many bodyguards you have, no matter how wealthy you are, there is always a way. And they really ought to think about that.
Mm-hmm. You know, in its simplest or purest form, there's nothing wrong with a secret society until it exerts some hidden power or some hidden agenda to be something imposed upon people, such as slavery or mind control or mass poisoning through a variety of means, those types of things. When a secret society commits those acts, that's when I have an issue with it. A secret society is just that, okay? And so, you know, the very concept that, oh, this is a secret group. Well, we've got all these secret groups, you know, committing all these pathological acts upon the planet and upon all the species living on the planet. And we've talked about the presence of other beings from other realms being here on this planet. And we're not going to be around the bush, on no pun intended, by the way. On the issue, it's a fact, and it's the reason you drop off the show, or I drop off the show, or the network drops off the airwaves, because they don't want the message out there. But there are plenty of people talking about it. We're not the only ones. The thing is,
no, as a matter of fact, I'll be very honest with you. Kayo, my friend in Japan, sent me an article that was forwarded to her from a friend of hers in France that goes into this whole concept of the Japanese tragedy being a man-made issue. And it goes into it in surprising detail. And so, you know, there's a lot of people that are suspicious about what's going on. And I think that the more that they exert their efforts at subjugation and control, or whatever facet of their intentions they want to express, at this point in time, there are so many people that are suspicious of what's going on, that they're only going to be calling more and more attention to themselves until sooner or later there's going to be some sort of event. I wouldn't know what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I might say it's long overdue.
Yeah, if there is such a thing as a benevolent secret society and their intention is to put a stop to this, all the more power to them, as long as they don't do the same things that they're professing to stop, you see. That's the issue.
I don't think you're going to see that. If it's anything like what I intuit, I think it'll be some kind of a surgical retaliation. I think that there's no reason to make it a really broad band response. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. In the beginning of this issue, and I've said this on some past shows very recently, and in fact, I may have even said this last night, I intentionally didn't jump on the bandwagon when this information began to come out. And it came out on TV with nonstop tape loops, as usual. They're given the footage to show. They're not going out there taking this footage themselves. They're given the footage. And how is it that a nuclear power plant or a city can be going through the devastation of these catastrophic earthquakes and tsunamis, and somebody's there able to take a picture of it? It looks like Tokyo's falling apart. I think I'll climb on top of this building and take a picture of everything. You know,
well, yeah, I mean, isn't that the safest thing to do? It's perfectly normal.
Yeah, and I'll get it to CNN real fast, you know, with...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, okay?
So who's
orchestrating this, you see? Who controls the media? There's the answer, okay, as to who's behind it. Now, I'm not giving them all the credit for the technology that was used to produce this event. But they are a participant. They are co-conspirators. Okay. This group that likes to call themselves the elite or the Illuminati or the Committee of 300, and all of their minions, their international agents, the bankers, the pharmaceutical companies, the petroleum industry, even. What they call it now, the religious industry. The religious industry, okay? They're all equally guilty of playing some role in trying to obfuscate the truth and brainwash people in the same process. But there's something else going on, Jim. It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up that if this was an accident, if this was a natural event, a catastrophe, the whole world would be going to Japan's aid, wouldn't they?
Well, you would think they would anyway.
Yeah, and I'm speaking on an official governmental level. The people in the world themselves will do that. You and I experience that very thing, okay, in making phone calls and trying to contact people to let them know that we're there if there's some way we can help. People do that all over the world. The governments are doing something totally different, you see. Shenanigans going on in the banking industry, in the automotive industry, in technologies, in advanced technologies. And someone who is hell-bent on destroying a whole nation of people and its infrastructure has one thing in mind, and that's to move in and take it over and create something else there. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, my
first... You don't have to agree, but, you know...
No, I realize I don't have to agree, but let's put it this way. If I was to consider that alternative, my first question would be not whether or not there is the technology to achieve it or the evil intentions, you know, to propel that decision, because God knows that there's plenty of that out there. But the real question that would come to my mind first is why Japan? I mean, you know, there's a lot of other places in the world which are a lot more strategically located for a number of reasons. If you were going to come here and take it over, than Japan. Of course, that's only my opinion. You understand that.
You know, Jim, I asked that question at least 10 times on the show last night. I said that. The question we should be asking is why Japan? So congratulations.
Yeah, and the only thing that comes to my mind, and I've heard this now from, you know, more than one individual, there's really two possibilities that come to mind. One is that there's been some kind of a break between the rest of the power groups that are hell-bent on keeping the status quo alive and whoever is the active counterpart to that movement in Japan itself. And this earthquake is a retaliatory event, you know, to sort of teach a lesson or project a warning or something to that effect. That's one possibility. The other possibility surrounds a very different point of view, but equally possible. As you know, because Japan is so isolated, it is in fact an island nation. They import 100% of everything that they need, just about, except for the agricultural stuff that they grow, and a few of the basic natural materials that they make use of. But the biggest thing that they import is all of their fuel, you know, an awful lot of the raw materials that they don't have access to in their own environment, and things of that sort. And so what we're possibly looking at is that they have been doing their own energy research for an answer to the power situation on Japan, and have come up with a technology that might free them from the dependence on foreign oil or something to that effect. Now, if that was the case, then there might be powers very interested in not allowing the emergence of that type of technology, even to the point of, you know, providing an event to discourage that type of an outcome. Those are the two things that come to my mind. Now, if we go off-world and consider the possibility that there is another agency from somewhere else that is involved in this, then I only see two possibilities for that. For some reason, somebody out there wants Japan. I don't know what they would choose Japan for, but let's assume that that's true. Okay, that's a possibility. The other is that they really don't give a flip about Japan any more than they do about any other part of the earth, but they are being used somehow in collusion with other earth-bound governments to inflict damage for a reason.
Yes.
And so, you know, when you put all of that together, no matter how you slice it, something stinks.
Yes, the last three examples you gave, I concur with. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Totally. In fact, number three is the likely reason. And it's why we're not getting information on any level. Oh, you're hearing about the tsunami, but you're not hearing the things that I'd like you to share with the audience some of the things that you've been told are going on there.
Oh, well, I'd be happy to do that. I've been, you know, talking to friends, people I know personally in Japan. And, you know, the stories that they tell are pretty incredible. First of all, this whole region where the nuclear stations are located was protected by a 40 or 50 foot seawall And according to a gentleman that I just spoke with 2 days ago, the tsunami was so huge that it was just as if there was no seawall. It went right over the top of the whole bloody business and swept inland with such an incredible amount of force that it just drove everything ahead of it. Ships, buses, cars, remnants of homes, all manner of debris, and God knows what else, and penetrated, quite a ways inland, devastating everything in its path. But the other things that that it did was that any of the soil in that region that might have been used for agricultural purposes has now been polluted with salt water, which makes the growing of any kind of crops in that region an impossibility for quite some time. And the other thing is that they are finding hundreds, if not thousands, of bodies on a regular basis. And they're everywhere. And they're not even capable of identifying them because some of them are just pulverized beyond recognition. Others are, completely devoid of any articles on their person that would allow you to make an identification. And, of course, by the time they get to them, a lot of them are bloated from being underwater and decomposition is already setting in. And so, it's an enormous dilemma. Who are these people? In a lot of instances, entire families are gone or entire neighborhoods. So it's very hard. It's not like somebody dies down the street and you say, oh, did you hear about Mr. So-and-so passed away yesterday? Well, if the entire community is gone, there isn't anybody to reference who's missing. And that's the kind of thing that's been going on over there. Now, as far as the radiation is concerned, it's interesting that that's the only thing that the media keeps hounding at.
Exactly.
Is this radiation issue. And the thing that I find the most peculiar about that is it is the one parameter that most likely the majority of individuals who are supposedly exposed to this stuff have no way of verifying the validity of that threat. It's not like you can stick your finger up in the air and say, oh yeah, we've got a radiation stream coming our way. You need instruments. And in their particular situation, that's the last thing that they have access to. So it makes me suspicious that it isn't a fear-monger issue, whether the radiation is there or not.
Yes. Well, you have to ask yourself, if this is such a threat, why isn't our government here in America doing something about this in a responsible way? And I don't mean the same fear-monger approach to informing us as to what dangers we're in. I smell the stink of the pharmaceutical companies on the other side of the tsunami. Okay, and promoting, get this drug, get that drug. You see, we don't have the evidence.
Yeah, be prepared for the radiation sickness that's coming and all this kind of stuff.
I'm not saying we shouldn't be prepared, but we should know, one way or the other, we should know, and we should know the truth, not the spin, not their, that one little puzzle piece that mysteriously has disappeared and nobody's bringing up. Why aren't they there helping the Japanese? And this shouldn't be an unsolvable problem, is it, Jim?
Well, there are certainly plenty of things that can be done about it, but the very first thing that needs to be done, which I don't understand why nobody has done, is to verify the presence of the threat. I mean, come on. Geiger counters have been around for at least 75 years, possibly longer in other forms.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in today's world, we don't have access to that type of technology that can say, hey, yeah, look, we do have a radiation problem here. Let's get organized and do something about it. Or, hey, no, there is no such thing going on. What's all the clamor about? But we don't know anything. Now, the thing that's incredibly weird about it is that the Japanese people themselves, of course, I realize that in the stricken region, you're not going to see any activity of that sort because they're much more interested in surviving and picking up their lives and going forward. But the Japanese as a nation is very tilted towards electronics and technology. And I don't understand why somebody in their own population, if nobody else is willing to help them, doesn't just put together a simple Geiger counter circuit based on an ionization tube, an amplifier, and a few electronic trinkets, just to say, hey, yeah, we got a problem, or where is this radiation cloud? You know, but nobody's doing anything, or if they are, we're not hearing about it. And that to me is very suspicious. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it means. I'll be very honest about it.
You know, and there are some YouTube videos posted, Jim, where there's a woman that has a voice sort of like a seamstress, or somebody that likes to do patchwork quilts or something like that. You know, and suddenly this person is an expert on what's happening there. You see, but this isn't being reported anywhere else. And I'm not saying there aren't smart women out there, but why is it always a woman telling us what's going on with space or what's going on with the Earth, with planets? Why is it always a woman that has to be the messenger? Well, that's one of their mind control methods. It's got to be a man or a woman, of course. But
Are you sure?
That's a good point. Some people ride the fence, don't they? I guess what I'm saying here is that we're not hearing this come from an expert that anybody knows of, right? It's this person that comes out from underneath the woodwork.
Well, that's exactly what I was insinuating. Where are the experts? I don't care whose experts they are. A Japanese expert is fine, or, you know, an American or somebody from some other nation, but where the heck are they? And here's the other thing that's kind of weird. You know, if the prevailing winds are supposedly blowing this dense radiation cloud across the Pacific towards the Americas, you know, are the American people so completely oblivious to everything that they're not even going to worry about it? You know, oh, yeah, well, here it comes. You know, yawn, yawn. It's just another day, big radiation cloud. Or, you know, is there a prevailing sense on some level that it's all a lot of BS and it's not worth listening to? But the problem is there's nobody that's coming out one way or the other.
Yes.
At least that I have seen or heard of, you know, with an opinion or with a measurement or with an official statement. It's just
this is the purpose
blank.
Of this discussion tonight, Jim, is to explore that. Because what, you know, the date, March 11th, 2011.
Right.
The date is very occultic. It's very ritualistic. And the numbers, the formulas that work out compared to other false flag events show that there's 911 days in between this event and the previous event. If you study the numerology, the signs are there. So it indicates that someone planned this, either outright planned it or conspired with someone else. there are lots of ways they could destroy Japan. I just find this way, the one they chose to make it look like it was a natural event. But we shouldn't necessarily give credit to those who are capable of doing it on this planet, because we should consider point number three that you made in your second example of what's probably going on, is that it's someone from off planet who's behind this. And of course, they could not even approach discussing that at all, which is why you're hearing all of this gibberish.
Yeah, but they inadvertently opened the door to that very subject by making use of that option, if in fact that's what happened. Because yes, sooner or later, even an imbecile is going to be able to say, well, it isn't A, B, C, or D. It must be E.
Mm-hmm. See, what makes it a planned event as opposed to a natural event? The date. The date is the signpost. It's the proof, because you'll find that in every other event that they've orchestrated. Now, it's the your question, why Japan? And I said location. It's just a location, but location. That's one aspect of why that occurred.
There could be other things too. Like, for instance, there's an esoteric history of Japan that may involve all of these secret groups in one way or another that the general public is not aware of. Like, for instance, we talked about the lost continent of Pan,
exactly,
the mother country, exactly, on one of our shows,
mm-hmm,
and Japan, you know, is an extract from that culture that has survived. We don't understand in the general history of our planet what the connections might be that these people are still using as some type of a measuring stick for loyalty or future events or past events or things that we just don't know anything about. There's really a lot of possibilities.
In the nutshell, Japan evolved out of the former continent of Pan that was besieged by great earth changes on the heels of a nuclear event, likely a nuclear war. And isn't that interesting that we have nuclear events going on in Japan? So I would say that, you know how history repeats itself, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
There's an example. But
so many different things into the picture, though, once you start to add those things into the mix, you know, because now you can ask questions about national karmas. You can ask questions about, you know, does history repeat itself because of karmic law, or does it repeat itself because it's all orchestrated and the people that are manipulating history are repeating these things deliberately for their own benefit? I mean, it really opens the whole can of worms to a lot of things to contemplate. And here again, we are propelled back into the same type of reasoning and minefields that we've been talking about for the last 2 years almost. This is a good stimulus and a good focus for a broadening of consciousness. It's very easy to say, oh yeah, there was an earthquake in Japan, a lot of people got hurt, they got a radiation problem. Yeah, what's for dinner, honey? You know, that type of thing. Or you can really start to try to put the pieces together and say, well, wait a minute, what's really going on? How does all of this fit into the way the world really works? You know, never mind what they tell you or what they don't tell you. You've got your own reasoning powers. You know, the information is out there if you're willing to do a little legwork and find it. So, you know, it's an opportunity for growth and for enlightenment if you choose to make it so.
Now, this is an opportunity for the people, the common man, as they like to call us, okay, to take action on this event and apprise ourselves of what's going on, you see, rather than sitting back waiting for someone again to tell us what's going on, because they're not telling us anything. I can't use the proper noun on the radio to describe what they're telling us, okay? But you you can surmise what that four-letter word is.
I can imagine.
Okay. So, I mean, isn't that a way that we can stop this madness for once?
Well, that's the way I would look at it. But, you know, we have explored over the last year or two various reasons why, for some strange reason that I don't fathom, most people need some monstrously powerful impulse to knock them off of their keisters and get their brain in gear when it comes to what's really happening in the world. And unfortunately, even this tragedy doesn't seem to have awakened too many people in our country. But the interesting thing is, there are other parts of the world that are really quite concerned. And they seem to at least be giving the matter its proper level of attention. I don't hear anything about it around here, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
How about you in Ohio? What do you hear?
Yeah.
Anybody talking about it?
People I know are talking about it. But outside, you know, is the common Joe six-pack out there and, you know, Susie Cream Cheese, are they talking about it? No.
Yeah. It's not even on the headlines anymore. Now it's already off the papers.
Well, they depend on
news.
Yeah, they depend on propaganda from the mainstream media as their source of information. And they don't question it.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that are affected by all the other 3D entrapments thrown their way, you know, ego identification and the like. So those people are going to be the way they are. You know, we're probably best to let them be the way they are. And if they're going to wake up, then you point them in the right direction. But I would think those that know that there is possibly a risk, that we are possibly at risk, I think the thing to do is to determine if that's true. Let's determine if we are at risk.
Well, you know, as a person who is reasonably familiar not only with radiation in general, but even with the instrumentation and measurement of such things, I can tell you unequivocally that all you got to do is go to the internet, and almost everybody is familiar with that nowadays, and you can Google up information about how to build or buy or otherwise acquire a simple Geiger counter. The other thing that you can do is to reference the records, which I'm sure are available in a very general way, about what is the normal background radiation count that can be expected, let's say, on the West Coast, as a result of cosmic rays and, you know, various other ionizing phenomena that are normally there.
Let's say, like, on any Sunday afternoon, right?
Well, I'm not talking about those type of ionization events. I'm talking about, you know, normal, natural. Maybe
yes.
That would have been a better word, natural.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it doesn't really matter. You're talking about the mean radiation that's always there.
Right. And there are records indicating what the values of that is, you know, in REMS or in any other measurement that you want to look at, cures or whatever is particular to your concern. And you can just take your own readings and compare that to the norm. Now, if the number is greater and you start to chart this or log it or otherwise track it, and it starts to get, you know, to the point where it's growing, then we have the right to assume that something is happening.
Yes.
But if it's very close to the standard background count and it remains that way, then we have the right to assume that something's wrong with the information that's floating around. But somebody's got to do something to determine that one way or another.
Yeah. Now, there are people with Geiger counters.
Yeah, and there are, lots of them.
There should be even people in the scientific community that would have a genuine interest in this. Or are they so bridled and hamstrung that that they won't take that step out of fear of losing their pension or their career or something like that?
Well, for God's sake, I mean, it could be done anonymously. You know, what does it take?
Mm-hmm.
You take a reading and you compare it to the known or to the norm, and then if you don't want to get yourself in a jam, I'll say it politely, then you just secretly send the information, you know, mm-hmm. to any number of pools or blogs or whatever that's out there where it could do some good. But I don't see anybody doing anything.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm bringing this up. And then, of course, you would have to verify the source of the information, too, because that's the perfect scenario.
Well, yeah, because otherwise it might just be disinformation.
Yes, exactly. So there's got to be a concerted effort and handled with integrity. That's the bottom line.
Well, you know what I think we should do? I mean, if nobody else does anything, I will talk to my friends over there and find out if anybody knows for sure what the story is with the radiation. I mean, I didn't explore that in detail because I was respectfully listening to a download of complaints concerning the Japanese plight. But I have, you know, the wherewithal to interrogate also. So I think it's worthwhile to find out, you know, what the story is. I mean, remember the Chernobyl incident?
Mm-hmm.
There was very little doubt about what happened there because they even evacuated the whole bloody area. You know, and it was news for a long time. You know, there was genuine concern. Now,
yes.
Maybe the only reason we don't have that in this case is because nobody's left alive over there. I don't know. But I just find it very strange that we don't hear anything.
Well, did they evacuate living people? That's
Yeah,
that's...
those are the ones that count.
Yes. So, you know, we're told that's what they did, but we don't know that for certain. Now, you know, in more recent times, I've heard some pretty staggering numbers.
I've heard some pretty staggering numbers too. As a matter of fact, when I was describing the gruesome aspect of the bodies and the way they're finding them, you know, I was even told that sometimes they're all clumped together in groups of, you know, 500 or even 1,000. I mean, I don't know how many casualties there actually were, but apparently there's a lot more death than what has reached the ears of the general public.
Yes. And again, we have to ask that question: why Japan, and why such a hush? Why such a cover up of what's going on? See, that led me to think outside the box, Jim, and actually intuit that there's another group. And I'm not alone in this thinking. There are others who have come forth and basically said the same thing. Ken Adachi, C.S. Livingstone. We're not 100% right, probably at any time. But I wouldn't say it's an impossibility from time to time. Many times I've hit the nail right on the head. There was nothing else to find other than, the information that I discovered. And when I went and researched the information that was coming to me intuitively, I was able to find support in that documentation. That things were planned.
Have you gone that far in this case with your intuitive hunches?
My intuition is based. It was the basis on what I've been saying tonight.
No, now, I know, but have you verified or tried to verify the intuitive information itself by other means?
Yeah, I've gotten some corroboration as well. You see, the way this thing is playing out for the public is to hide what's really going on, right? That's obvious. But their actions or their lack of action speaks much louder than anything they tell us, even through the propaganda media. What they're saying is, we don't want you to know what has occurred and what is occurring and what is planned to occur. So therefore, we're going to have you look at this and this and this, and all the fear is going to be focused on that. All the attention is going to revolve around that. Isn't that how they do wars? Isn't that how they do bank fraud and government fraud, political fraud? Isn't that how they operate? In giving us the information, even assassinations. I mentioned that at the top of the show. They hide the information because they're all involved in it. They're all culpable. And it would expose these other truths. And see, they already have enough financial schemes to steal all the wealth of the money. Why is it so important for them to have a particular individual sitting in the seat if they're all puppets? Oh, well, we have a white puppet. Now we need to get a brown puppet or a yellow puppet or a green puppet or a red puppet. They just throw whoever they feel is going to fit their purposes there. We pay too much attention to those people as having some ultimate power over things. They're just agents working on behalf of those that are holding and pulling the strings. See, even the Illuminati themselves have become agents to those with greater weaponry, with more technological prowess, and equally deficient of any spiritual value, anything good or godly within them is absent. So they get along well. They're two of a kind, or three, or four, or five of a kind. They're just showing us what they want us to see. That's why what we bring to the table, Jim, is such a threat to what they're doing. That's why they have to impede it or stop it or interfere with it in any variety of ways. But they do that with their own things too. They don't just do that to us. We're merely making observations here. And I think it's important for people to be able to look at what is really going on. Not say, well, to me, the most fearful thing is that there's radiation coming here. So I got to get myself prepared, and you're in this panic mode. You're in this extreme state of fear, and it seems logical to be in that state of fear because you're feeling it, and you're hearing it from other people who are also agreeing, but it doesn't make it true because you're feeling it. We need to really come up with a definite way of proving or disproving what's being told to us. Or better yet, just look at what is important to us and discover the truth about that. Forget about what they say. And as you discover the truth about what they're saying, because even if they're lying, and we can prove the lies, then we have learned the truth, that what they said is a lie. That still is a truth. So we get to the truth of it, we will see who is behind it. It'll be very simple to see. And I think we're doing that tonight, Jim. Any comment you'd like to make?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The issue means enough to me that if it weren't for the fact that I am really tied down here, and I would like to just use that term without explaining it, I'd go do it myself. But I have a couple of friends who are pretty well situated in that region on the West Coast, one of whom even has his own laboratory. And I think it would be interesting, even if I can't go there myself, to make a few calls and see if I can find out anything that would shed some light on this. And then I'll be happy to report it myself. But at least, even though it wouldn't be first-hand information, at least it would be second-hand information, mm-hmm. as opposed to, 12th-hand or 500th-hand or whatever the heck we normally get.
And, the average person's not out there every day measuring the amount of radiation that's out there. Do we know how much depleted uranium is circling the planet as well?
There's a lot of things we don't know,
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I think that there's, there's enough knowledge about what the past has demonstrated as normal versus what you should be aware of and to what extent it becomes threatening, that you could make a pretty intelligent and well-informed decision about the status quo if somebody would actually have the gumption to make a measurement.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we have listeners in each state in this country and around the world, so people could make measurements and let us know.
Yeah, this is a perfect opportunity for the listeners of this show to act as an extension of our capabilities, in the sense that there could be the opportunity to demonstrate some teamwork on a level that would really be meaningful with respect to this tragedy, as opposed to just listening every Friday or every Monday or whatever night they tune in and say, gee, that was a good show, wasn't it? It needs to go beyond that point, people. This is a wake-up call if there ever was one. I almost believe that the way this event is treated by the general population of this planet is pretty well going to determine the way things are done in the future. Not only by us, but by them, whoever they are.
See, these sorts of events were attempted here in the United States as well. There have been a number of them occurring over the past few years. And they were stopped. This one wasn't stopped. This was a multi-pronged attack to give the illusion of a natural ecological event that happened to be destructive. You know, it would imply if one would say, well, this was a natural event and someone was aware of the Earth's consciousness, one could imply that the Earth actually punished Japan herself. It leaves one with that deduction. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but subconsciously, I think some people look at it like that. Those that are in favor of saving the whales and the otters.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Lord knows we got it coming. But I think that if you're going to take that line of reasoning, the past history of the world and the people who run it are such that it would dictate a much more severe punishment for the people who orchestrate this type of stuff than for innocent bystanders who are just trying to make it through life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. See, when we look at it this way, now there are more reasons to do something about this. And, you know, what harm can it do to find out the truth, one way or the other, right? Who is it going to harm?
It shouldn't harm anybody. It isn't even a question of harm. No. It's a question of, it should be a need to know.
Yeah. I'm hearing both sides of the argument on radio and reading about it. And there's also a lot of information that seems like it would be impossible to verify, especially listening to you describe some of your conversations with your acquaintances who are in Japan, who are living through this experience. That's a bit more from the horse's mouth, so to speak, when you're hearing it from someone who's lived through the event or is still experiencing the event because of aftershocks and the discoveries that are probably moment to moment, minute by minute, day to day, week by week, as to the amount of death and destruction. So their focus is on dealing with those issues. One wonders if they are aware of what we are being told, and is what we're being told true? That's another way that we can find out.
Well, I'm happy to even participate in that. But by contrast, what are we being told? I mean, that brings us right back to where we started this thing. I mean, there's very, very little meaningful information of any variety that's coming to us presently.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago or so, or whenever the event, actually occurred, there was quite a bit of noise. But now, which would in some ways be an even more compelling time, due to the fact that the reality of it has sunk in and it's given people a chance to dig into it, trying to find survivors and to see the extent of the damage and things like that, you would expect that there would be an ongoing tide of details coming to us, but there aren't.
Yeah, my initial approach, as I said at the top of the show, was to stand back and just observe rather than participate in the hysteria over this. And I didn't talk about it much on the show. Over time, it became a topic because I, not not hearing information that seemed plausible to me or hearing conflicting information from alleged official sources, I determined that I was going to look at it from an intuitive perspective and see what came about. And I got corroboration from other people on that. But I also got some disagreement initially. And then that changed, that was modified later. And in,
well,
in
if
a
you
general,
don't mind me asking, what was the nature of the disagreement?
That it appeared to have been a natural event.
Okay, fine. They're entitled to their opinion, but what about the news blackout? How do you explain that? You know, why aren't we hearing anything about it?
Yeah, and the date. And all these other things that just don't seem to add up or belie what's being said, and pun intended. You know, they're saying they're doing this, they're doing that, this has to be done, that has to be done. But you don't see any effort to save lives. Everything that's being talked about is in terms of money. The billions of dollars in damage. How, you know, who, what accountant is standing around calculating that right now with what they?
I don't know, but realistically speaking, you know, considering the magnitude of the tragedy, even as we understand it peripherally, why is it that the financial aspect of the event eclipses all the other information to the point of exclusion?
Well,
that's doesn't
their
that
message.
Tell you something in its own right?
Yes, absolutely. And then the connections to American companies or, you know, foreign companies. Yeah, it's something that we can certainly explore further, and I'll do what I can do on my part to provide some information. And we suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that if you're so inclined to find the truth, that you see what it would take for you to come up with some information on your own. After all, you know, the weatherman tells you it's going to rain all day. Have you ever stuck your head out the door or window and wondered why the weatherman was wrong? Did he intentionally lie to you, or was he uncertain? Half the time, I think they're just putting out what they're told to put out as news or information.
Actually, it wouldn't surprise me at all, to be honest with you.
You know, they'll say, oh, it's going to be absolutely clear skies today, cloudless, and we have chemtrails all over the place, you know. So even the weatherman doesn't know the whole truth or intentionally lies to us, or the weather girl. They're just actors, folks. They're script readers. Some are script writers. They're just delivering the message they're told to deliver. And it's often absent of truth. So we have a right to know the truth. We have a right to know what's really going on. I think they've proven themselves that we can't trust them and we can't depend on them, even though they present themselves as such creatures, which is another contradiction. We just have to wake up, Jim. It's as simple as that. But we're out of time. I appreciate your contribution to the show, and I would like to allow you the convenience or the opportunity to make a closing comment.
Well, the only closing comment I can make, you know, that really adds impact to the things we've been discussing is that I will personally see what I can find out about the issue, the main issues that we discussed tonight. And hopefully, if I, you know, reach these people in the next few days, that we'll have some of that at our disposal next Friday.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your contribution to Evident Footprints, and I look forward to our next talk here on the show. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday when my special guest will be Dr. A. True Watt. In the meantime, I wish you a great weekend, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.